On the meeting of the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners to order. The meeting is video hosted using Zoom. The public parties and the public and parties on this agenda have been properly noticed of this fact and have been supplied with the meeting access instructions. Item number two is the roll call. Ms. Poe, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Madam Shreve. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Malott? Dr. Malott, you're on mute.
Present.
Thank you. Dr. Bohansky?
Present.
Dr. Catarino?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Mr. Dinar? Dr. Gill?
Present.
Ms. LaBoy? Dr. Meyer? Don't believe Dr. Meyer has joined. We still have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Please note that the times stated on the agenda are approximate. The board makes every effort to begin procedures at the scheduled times. The board may suspend the discussion on one agenda item and proceed to another and then return to a former item at a later date, at a later time. It will be today. Sorry about that. The board may also reorder the non-timed items. We encourage anyone who is in attendance today to fill out a board survey. This provides feedback to us on our meetings. Please contact the staff for the link for this form as it's now online. And I want to just a big shout out and thank you to all the board members for your hard work. There is a lot of information at every meeting for us to read and be prepared for. So thank you for your time and effort. It's really appreciated. And also another big shout out to our staff who keeps us up to date and informed and provides us the information. And I don't know how they do all of it, but they do an incredible job. And of course, to Ms. Galvin, who our attorney, who gives us great advice and frankly keeps me out of trouble and keeps me going the right direction as the chair. So I really appreciate that. In regards to continuing education credits for attending the board meeting, if you're looking for education credits, you will be eligible to receive those. To receive a credit, listen for a code word provided throughout the meeting and email those words to the board staff within 1 week of the meeting. So again, we will make note when that code word is going to be said, and if when you hear it, just make a note of it and then send that to our board staff. Item number four on the agenda is a call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit those persons speaking during the time to a reasonable number on any public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes to do so. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38431.02H, the board may only take action on matters listed on the agenda. Ms. Poe, is there anyone that you've been contacted that would like to speak? And if there is a public member, please take yourself off the, just wave your hand and then Ms. Poe can unmute you. So not seeing any hands being waved, I assume there's nobody. Item number five is the council update. Ms. Galvin, do you have a update for the board?
I do, Madam Chairman. Just briefly, you will recall that at a previous meeting, the board considered a case against Dr. Shanna Sade. You considered her request for rehearing or review, I believe it was last month, and you denied that request for rehearing or review. Just as an update, this week, her attorney did file a notice of appeal in the Superior Court. That is the step that is needed to be taken for judicial review action. So we will be in Superior Court on appeal of that decision. And I will keep you apprised as that progresses. That's all I have.
All right, thank you for that update. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, item number six. And just for the record, are there any recusals on any of the items on the consent agenda from the board members? All right, seeing none, a board member may request to remove an item from the consent agenda for independent discussion and action. Are there any requests for this?
Ms. Shreve, I would just like the record to reflect, it does appear Dr. McNamara is with us.
Oh, thank you. Dr. Myers. All right, there you go. Great, welcome. So I'm not hearing any requests. So is anyone would like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Dr. Malott. Is there a second?
Seconded.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank you. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. I would just like to take a quick minute. Our executive director wrote a report for our consent agenda, and I just want to just recognize Christian Poe. In that report, I just want to read this sentence because I think it's just, you know, our staff is incredible. But as it says in the report, due to the valiant effort of and many hours invested by Kristen Poe, all of the agency's more than 2,800 active and inactive licensing files digitized by the vendor digital solutions have been verified in an online reviewing system. And I'd just like to big thank you to Kristen Poe. That was a lot of work. That's a lot of detail, and we really appreciate your efforts and are so glad you're part of our staff because you make us look good. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, I am going to take a couple items out of order. I'm going to move now to item number 11. And looking for my notes real quick, item 11 is discussion, consideration, and possible action on application for behavior analyst temporary license application of Paige Huff. Subject of complaint 2052. Executive Director, would you like to provide an update?
Yes, Madam Chair. The board would not typically see applications for temporary licensure. The board, I'm sure, remembers that earlier this year, it voted to activate a temporary license application process through ARS 323124 as one of its many licensure waivers and strategies to affect the delivery of care in a positive way given the COVID-19 pandemic. Ms. Huff filed a application for temporary licensure earlier some months ago, I guess December of 2019, she filed an application for a full unrestricted behavior analyst license and working toward fulfilling those requirements. We did not, staff did not process the temporary license application because she is currently the subject of an open investigation, a complaint 2052. The investigation is in process and we hope to bring it before the Committee on Behavior Analysts by the end of the year. But given this open complaint, we decided to bring this application first to the CBA for their review and their recommendation. Their recommendation was to table the application pending the outcome of the investigation of 2052. And Dr. Davis Wilson and Dr. Davey may wish to add to this summary if they'd like.
Thank you for the briefing. Dr. Davis Wilson or anyone, Dr. Davies, like to provide any comments?
I believe Ms. Bakanon covered it correctly. The Committee of Behavior Analysts just believed until we had the information on complaint 2052 that we were not comfortable moving this temporary license forward.
Okay. And I would ask Ms. Galvin is or executive director, process, have we done this before where we hold approval due to a complaint?
Madam Chair, this would be, I believe, the first instance of this kind of issue being presented to the board because the temporary license application opportunity is relatively new. We do have timeframes that are prescribed by the statute that determine that we need to take some sort of action. Again, that recommendation is to table the application. I do want to add, too, that Ms. Huff was noticed of this meeting, and I don't know if she's present today or if she would like to address the board, but she is aware of the scheduling of this discussion.
All right, I'm going to ask Ms. Huff, if you're here, if you could either unmute yourself or show yourself and wave, and we can then allow you to have an opportunity to speak. All right, hearing none, and I'm not seeing her, it appears that the
Chairman,
I would move
that the board support the Committee on Behavior Analysts recommendation to us.
Okay, we have a, is that a motion? Is there a second?
It's Dr. Davey, I'll second.
Thank you, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. I'm gonna now move to item number 10. Discussion, consideration, and possible action relating to the motion to Associate Counsel for Administration of ProHackVice, I'm sure I mispronounced that, submitted by Ms. Sarah Stark on behalf of Mr. J.W. Carver in the matter concerning Michael Epstein. Ms. Michelson, would you like to provide an update?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I'll keep my summary brief. As some background for this case, in October of 2019, the board opened a complaint number 20-10 against Dr. Epstein based on information contained in a National Practitioners Data Bank report that was submitted by the Navy's Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, which indicated that Dr. Epstein's clinical privileges in the Navy had been revoked on the basis of sexual misconduct with the client. Dr. Epstein has served in the Navy, and the allegations contained in this data bank report were related to a previous board complaint against Dr. Epstein, which was dismissed by the board in 2018. This new complaint was opened based on the information reported to the data bank, which was received after the dismissal of the previous case. Mr. Jeff Carter, Carver, is a licensed attorney in California, and he has represented Dr. Epstein with regard to the Navy's investigation, as well as a previous board complaint. Given that the alleged events occurred in California at a Naval Medical Center where Dr. Epstein worked, Dr. Epstein has requested that Mr. Carver represent him again for this current complaint. And Ms. Sarah Stark, who is an attorney licensed in Arizona, is sponsoring Mr. Carver in his ProHackVice petition, which is a petition to allow him to practice in Arizona as it specifically relates to Dr. Epstein's pending case. To note, the board had previously approved for Mr. Carver to practice in Arizona for that previous complaint, and this was in 2016. On September 11th of 2020, Ms. Stark notified staff that the ProHackVice application is now complete and that Mr. Carver has been issued the notice of complete application from the Arizona State Bar. She submitted the motion and order for the board's consideration, which is included in my memo. And if the board is in agreement, there will need to be a motion to accept their motion in order to allow Mr. Carver to practice in Arizona for this complaint. And that concludes my summary. Thank you.
So in essence, this is just a request to allow the attorney to practice in Arizona and represent his client. Are there any comments? Is there a motion?
So moved.
We got a motion. Is there a second?
I seconded.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right. I am 1 minute or 30 seconds off the 8:40. The timed item, which we will start. Everybody just kind of stretch, take a moment. I don't want to get myself in trouble here. So we got about a few seconds. All right, we're good. All right. So now it's 8:45. We're going to move to item number 7, which is a timed item, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding an informal settlement conference for Neil Olsham and complaint number 21F. 2003, including possible settlement of case number 21F2003, psych, vacating the formal hearing and rejection of offer of settlement. The board may vote to go into executive session on any item in based on ARS 38431-03A2 to review confidential records, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is confidential by the state or federal law, and ARS 38431.03A3 to receive confidential legal advice from our attorney. We're now going to go into an informal settlement conference. This is something we haven't done for many years as far as an informal settlement conference. Members, please note that because the case has been remanded to a formal hearing, we have an independent advisor for this matter. So Mr. Mark Harris from the Attorney General's Office is representing us on this case. Ms. Galvin now represents the state. So any questions that we have regarding what we can do should go, we'll discuss with Mr. Harris. And Ms. Michelson, could you provide a summary of this matter?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I do apologize. My summary is somewhat lengthy, but I wanted to give the board members a full overview of this case. At the board's meeting on January 10th of 2020, an informal interview was conducted for this pending complaint against Dr. Olshan. He was not present at this meeting. The complaint was filed in July of 2019 by a client who had alleged that Dr. Olshan had told him that treatment would be accomplished by providing him with audiogenic tapes, but that these tapes were never provided despite multiple written requests. The client also alleged that Dr. Olshan did not provide him with the therapy that he paid for. After this complaint was filed, the complainant informed me that he ultimately received the tapes from Dr. Olshan. Dr. Olshan represented in an email to me that the complainant's emails went to his spam folder, so he never saw the messages, but sent the tapes once this issue came to his attention. It was noted that Dr. Olshan was not present for the informal interview, despite a subpoena commanding his presence. It was also discussed that Dr. Olshan failed to comply with a prior subpoena for his appearance at the board's initial review in December of 2019, despite an 11-week notice, and that he'd also failed to comply with the subpoena to submit the client's clinical record. During the investigation, Dr. Olshan had stated that he would submit the clinical record, but never did. Furthermore, he did not attend the CSC meeting and emailed staff 45 minutes in advance, stating that he would not be able to attend due to work. The email appeared to include his response to the complaint, which he had failed to submit previously despite multiple staff requests and despite informing staff that he would mail it to the board office, which it was never received. During the informal interview, the board noted that Dr. Olshan failed to provide adequate evidence to support his claim of a medical issue that prevented him from attending the board meetings, and that if he was too ill to comply with the board's requests and subpoenas, then this may possibly be an indication that he's not capable of practicing psychology competently and safely at this time. After conclusion of the informal interview in January, the board moved to offer Dr. Olshan a consent agreement for the voluntary surrender of his license, and if he did not sign, the case would proceed to a formal hearing before an administrative law judge at the Office of Administrative Hearings for revocation of his license. Following the board informal interview, Dr. Olshan informed staff that he would not surrender his license and that he would be retaining an attorney. He retained Mr. John Agra, who submitted a written request in April 2020 to have a discussion with the board to resolve this complaint with possible alternatives other than license revocation, such as a letter of concern or consent agreement for probation with various stipulations as determined by the board. The board reviewed this request at its meeting on June 5th, which Mr. Agra and Dr. Olshan attended and answered questions. This was the first time that Dr. Olshan appeared before the board. In reviewing Mr. Agra's request for the meeting, he submitted a letter dated April 27th, which is included in your memo, starting on page 29. When he submitted this letter, he did not include the clinical record, which I had previously subpoenaed in 2019. However, he submitted the record after I followed up with him. At the June 5th meeting, the board noted that the letter stated that Dr. Olshan conducted over 300 mental health evaluations for the court between August 2019 and January 2020, which was the period of time that Dr. Olshan stated that he was not able to appear before the board due to medical issues. The board questioned how Dr. Olshan was available to work at the same time he was not able to respond to multiple board subpoenas and appear before the board. The board also expressed concern regarding the clinical record that was submitted, as the typed session notes appeared to have been generated after the fact and included commentary as to what he thought was going on at the time. When Dr. Olshan had submitted an email response back in 2019, he had stated that the patient notes were not provided because his handwriting was not legible, so that he would provide a summary instead. The board noted that they never received any handwritten session notes, only the typed notes, which are included on page 41 of this file. After deliberation at that meeting in June, the board moved to proceed to a formal hearing before OA for the revocation of his license. The formal hearing is currently scheduled for November 10th. Ms. Galvin will be representing the state at this hearing. The hearing was initially scheduled for September 21st, but Mr. Agra had requested a continuance, which was approved by the OA judge. Pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 31-1092.06, a licensee may request a settlement conference prior to a formal hearing. And staff received this request from Mr. Agra on August 25th, and he had requested that the matter be placed on the board's October 2nd agenda so that he could have sufficient time to gather the documents related to Dr. Olshan's medical history, which staff agreed to. A week later, on September 3rd, I was notified by Mr. Agra that he was no longer representing Dr. Olshan for this complaint. Dr. Olshan recently notified me that he would not be submitting any documentation for today's settlement conference, but that he would be making a statement and presentation to the board. He is not represented by counsel today. If the board members need any legal advice, this will take place in executive session with Mr. Harris. And this concludes my summary of the matter. Please let me know if there are any questions. And I do see that Dr. Olshan is here today.
I have a quick question, Ms. Michelson.
Yes.
How many board subpoenas were issued and ignored by Dr. Olshan?
Dr. Bohansky, a total of 3 subpoenas. The initial subpoena was for the clinical record, which Dr. Olshan did state multiple times to me that he would submit and failed to do so during the investigation. Then there were 2 other subpoenas, one for the initial board review and one for the informal interview. And as the board is aware, he did not attend either.
Okay. All right, just for everyone's information, how we're going to proceed is Dr. Olshan will be able to make his comments. Committee will then be able to ask questions of Dr. Olshan. The state, which is Ms. Galvin, will be able to, if she has any, make some comments regarding the case. And again, if we feel as though we need to go an executive session, we can do so. And again, Mr. Harris is representing us as a committee. So Dr. Olshan, if you would like to make any comments to the board, you can do that now. You need to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure on that. I've been thinking about this for quite a bit and not sleeping for a number of nights, which is not your problem, and how should I approach it. Several things that I think I need to express is that I am truly sorry for the problems that I have caused the board, because I'm, as I've noticed, you are extremely busy, and I apologize for my disrespect of the board and all of the board members. I am a little bit confused because, well, let me back up. I'm not going to go into my history and bore everybody in, but one of my contentions is that I've been practicing since 1975, and this is the first time that I've had an incident brought before the board, which I think is a pretty good record. I've been a Medicare provider for 25 years and have never had a complaint. I've been a Blue Cross Blue Shield provider for almost 20, have never had a complaint filed against me. And unfortunately, it was somewhat of a perfect storm. I need to tell you a little bit about how my office runs. My wife, who has a Master of Counseling degree but does not practice, is the administrator. I believe that I am an excellent therapist. But I am not a very good administrator. That's why we divide things up, that my wife schedules me, gives me a schedule every morning. She makes the phone call to coordinate. She does all of those things because I have a tendency to procrastinate and will put them off. And that's worked very nicely until this year when I first received notification from the board, I was going to be having back surgery. Now, the one thing that I do dispute is that I have sent x-rays, I have sent orders from the surgeon specifying when I was going to have the surgery, various heart studies, all physical, and those were all submitted. And I just heard that you never received any validation of my physical problems. So I would have to contest that because I literally sent, a note from the hospital to me stating when my surgery was, which was scheduled, I believe, originally 2 days before the board meeting to have major back surgery. I have an issue because I'm allergic to pain medication, so I don't take any pain medication. And from a physical standpoint, I've got two artificial hips. I've had neck surgery. This is my third back surgery. So I'm in pain all the time, but it doesn't affect my practice because I have a unique situation where the only time I'm not in pain is when I'm sitting. So it doesn't affect my ability to practice. What happened was, that, and this is totally my fault, is when I received the subpoena, I was somewhat shocked. And especially, I have to tell you, whenever I see a patient, they're given my private cell number and they're given a card with my wife's name on it and her cell number. And they are told, if you can't get a hold of me, if you have a problem, please call Mary because Mary will deal with the situation. As you are aware, in the original complaint, the individual had said something about check with Mary because she will know. The last time I talked with the individual to confirm that he had received the audio files and he had received them, I asked him the question, just by the way, how come you never called Mary? When all of these things, you weren't getting a response from me because it was going to my spam file, which I check every day now, but then I hadn't checked it. Why didn't you call Mary? He hung up on me. And so I have to let the board know, and I can prove that every time I see a patient, they're given my personal number, but more than that, they're given Mary's number, who is the administrator, and told, if you have a problem, call Mary. Evidently, he never did, but he was aware of it as per his complaint and never called her. So what happened is that all of my physical problems were a big stress on my wife. We've been married over 50 years and I made a bad decision. I said, I was embarrassed. I said, I'll take care of this to myself. I had originally just shuffled some things under some papers and thought, well, this can't be a big deal. And because I'd never dealt with a board and that was my mistake. What happened is that I dug a deeper and deeper hole for myself and I was embarrassed to tell my wife. I kept thinking, I'll deal with it. I'll take care of this, which obviously I didn't do a very good job. The reason why I could do the evaluations and everything is Mary controls that. My wife deals with the Superior Court. She deals with the court in Mesa. She deals with the Phoenix Court. She deals with the judges. She sets everything up, not me, because I am not a very good administrator. I think I'm a very good therapist, not a very good administrator. But what I did was I took her out of the loop. I didn't tell her. I was embarrassed. I made a bad decision. I figured I could take care of it on my own. And I didn't, obviously, and caused a lot of people a lot of extra time and a lot of hassle. And the reason why I don't have Mr. Agra was that I finally told my wife. And the board's reaction to me was nothing compared to what my wife said to me. You know, we don't play golf, we don't do other things, and we had both decided, I'm 73, that for the next 7 to 8 years, we would continue practicing because I love what I do. And my wife loves doing it. And her comment to me was basically, you SOB, how could you take that away from us? And some other comments, which I won't repeat to the board. And she said, you need to let go of Mr. Agra. You need to put on your big boy pants and you need to tell the board that you really screwed up and that you didn't tell me and there wouldn't be a problem if you told me and stop blaming other people for a mistake that you made. And she said some other things. And so that's why I let Mr. Agra go. And that's why I'm here today to not make excuses. For the past 2 weeks, I haven't slept well because I have all these big diatribes about, you know, what I've accomplished in the past. And I believe that I've been a good psychologist. I've written 7 books on psychology, all published by New York publishers. I've been an advocate. I've worked with NASA. I've been, unfortunately, that was another thing that I just happened to have to, she asked me, is there anything else that you've never told me? And I said, because I can't drive, that's the other thing, with nerve damage in my back. So my wife drives me everywhere. And so that's why I'm on time for appointments. But she said, is there anything else? And I just said to her, well, remember when I was working consulting with NASA in Houston? She said, yes. I said, well, I was consulting, but I was also applying for the citizen flight program, and told her that I had been bounced in the second round because of past history of asthma. And she said, well, what was that for? And I said, the Challenger flight. And she said, well, maybe that's the only good decision you made regarding that. So, because we all know how that would have turned out. Of course, you wouldn't have been seeing me today. But I can answer any of your questions. But I guess what I'm here saying is, and I guess I'm sort of begging in a way, saying I've been practicing for almost 45 years. I would think that having no complaints in all that time, and I've helped a lot of people with this Maricopa County, my contract was just renewed. I'm one of a small group of people that's qualified to evaluate juveniles for competency. I love doing those kinds of things, but if it wasn't for my wife, I probably wouldn't be given another contract because I just am not a very good organizer. But I love what I do. I love helping people. And I haven't slept because I feel like I've taken away the last years that my wife and I wanted to spend together doing something worthwhile. We love doing it. And as she said to me, you put our life in jeopardy, not only financially, because if this happens, I immediately lose my contract with the state. I'll never get it again. I've had it for 12 years. I lose my contract with Mesa and I'll never work with Phoenix. I mean, I could have supplied letters from clients. I could have supplied, I talked to Judge Hintze. He said, whatever you need, I'll be able to gladly provide that regarding your ethical conduct. But I didn't because I did screw up. And I don't know whether you understand it. I mean, I just kept putting it off. I put things under the table.
We can see if we have any questions from the board. Do you have any, are those your comments? Do you have any further comments? Dr. Osham?
Oh, I'm sorry. My only comment was that what I was hoping to suggest was that since my wife is a super administrator, and I don't think the problem is my therapy, what I'm suggesting is double CME credit requirements for the next 2 years, which is an expense, which is a time. And I think that would be a fair punishment for not responding. But I'm hoping the board will take into consideration almost 45 years of being a psychologist. And basically, this takes my life away from me.
Let's see if we have appreciate those comments. Let me have the board make a comment. Let me just start first. You mentioned that the client that had filed a complaint called and then hung up on you. Do you understand that pretty much the perspective, maybe from my perspective, is that you hung up on us? We sent several subpoenas that are legal, and you didn't respond to those. And in essence, you basically hung up on us. Could you see that perspective?
I absolutely can. I was just trying to tell you that, and I tried to, I think, bring this up in several of my letters, that when he claimed that he got no response from me, I was confused as to why he never took advantage of calling my wife, because that would have solved the problem right there. But yes, well, I did, so to speak, hang up on you. I was rude. It was unprofessional. It was totally my mistake. I'm just saying, is the punishment of taking my license away? And
Dr. Osham, we are a regulatory committee, and to ensure that the public health is the first priority for the client, for the psychologist, that you're providing good public health. And as a regulatory committee, we ask for information to ensure that that's occurring, and yet you refuse to send the information, some of the information that we requested. Is that correct?
Yes, I did send some, I sent some information that, like the medical, that was sent, but in the opening statement, you evidently didn't get it regarding the surgeries and such. Yes, I agree with you. It's my understanding that the meeting to revoke my license, that my interaction with the client, which has been resolved, was taken care of. But the reason now for taking my license is because of my poor and inappropriate interaction with board.
Dr. Osham, I'm not a psychologist. I actually represent the general public on this committee. And I guess from my perspective is, if you are not providing the information that your licensing board is requesting, that guards your license, then from my perspective is, what's happening with your clients? So do you see that, how possibly there could be a correlation on that perspective?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the reason why. I think that's an apples and oranges. My wife handles that.
But Mr. Osham, is it not?
If I wasn't handling it appropriately with my clients, you would have received many complaints.
All right.
And you have it in 45 years of practice.
Dr. Bohansky.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As the chair has noted, our task is to protect the public. Doctor, you hold the license. Your wife and you together do not hold the license. You hold the license. Our job, and I respect Neil, I've known of you in town for many years. And you've done marvelous things for 4+ decades, incredible things. And I appreciate that. And I think the community appreciates that. The question is, today, as you sit here today as an independently licensed psychologist, are you making good decisions? I can see misplacing a subpoena once. It's an important decision and an important legal document. Twice becomes a concern. Three times says to me, you're not making good decisions. You're not making good decisions in terms of responding to this regulatory board. What does that say about decisions that you're making in other avenues of your work? And I know it's been splendid for 4 decades, but as you come down into that 5th decade, are you making decisions that we can trust are safe, effective, appropriate, correct in terms of the evaluations you do and the reports you write? Our job is to protect the public. Our experience with you is that you make very poor decisions and you make very poor interpretations regarding yourself and your own career in relationship to this board. Ignoring three subpoenas is a fairly significant indication that your decision making has some question to it. And I know you'd like to tell us that it doesn't, but that's the evidence we have in front of us. I understand your wife is a significant help, but do you understand, doctor, that your license is yours, not your team's?
I guess what I'd respond to that is that when I do, you mentioned evaluations. During the past year, when I do an evaluation, it's looked over by Correctional Health Services. It's evaluated by the defense attorney. It's evaluated by the prosecuting attorney, and it's evaluated by the judge. During this past year, I have not had one complaint. Nobody has questioned my professionalism. So I think that we're talking about, no, I'm not a great administrator, but I am an excellent therapist, and I still am an excellent therapist. To the point where I actually, you know, do more than I probably should. But to answer your question, you don't have any proof. You do have proof, because there's never been a complaint in the past year from all the evaluations. And you know that when I submit a report, the prosecuting attorney and defense attorney would love to find mistakes, and they don't, both in adults and juveniles. And these are difficult evaluations. So I don't have any other excuse other than, you know, I put myself into a bad situation and tried to sort of keep it from my wife, tried to handle it. And I, because of the surgeries and a few other things, I just kept shuffling it to the side, because as far as I was concerned, all my effort had to go to my patients. I dropped my patient load down slightly, and the evaluations I was doing. And that was a mistake. That was really a very bad mistake. But I actually think that I'm sharper now in doing therapy than I was before. I'm getting calls every day from people who say, I'm glad I found you, because I want to see a therapist who's over 65, because they know what I'm going through, you know. And I would politely disagree with you. I think that if you check with a superior court or any of the attorneys, you will not find one complaint against me. So I don't necessarily agree with your assumption that I'm making bad clinical decisions. I made bad administrative decisions.
Thank you. Dr. Meyer?
Thank you. Dr. Olshan, at the last meeting, we requested your handwritten notes for the complainant. And my understanding is that you decided not to submit those. Is that correct?
No. You know, after the last meeting, it was my understanding that you had made the decision to revoke my license, and that it was then going to go to court. You know, I'm sorry if I didn't. I thought it was over. I thought that no, I I guess I was not aware of that.
Your hand, because you had submitted only typed records that seemed to be done after the fact, we asked for your handwritten, the original records from the case. Once again, we are not in possession of evidence that we have requested.
There's another reason too, is that before I released Mr. Agra, I had asked him, when I looked at the chart, I said, now they're looking at pulling my license because of my reaction to the board. What about the complaint from the patient? And he said, well, that's done with. That's not part of the complaint now. Evidently that's been satisfied. And now they're looking at removing your license because of your lack of responses to the board. I thought the other was closed.
Throughout, we have not been able to get the evidence that we need to examine this complaint or this case. That's all I had. Thank you.
Mr. Osham, you were requested for those notes, and I think it was one of the subpoenas. Is that right, Ms. Michelson?
Yes, Madam. Dr. Olshan, please give me a moment to speak and you'll be allowed to respond. To clarify, when Dr. Olshan had emailed me 45 minutes before the CSC meeting in September 2019, he had indicated that his notes were handwritten and not legible, so therefore he would be providing a summary of those notes within the email. As the board is aware, I had sent him a subpoena for the entire clinical record, including all notes. He did not respond to that subpoena and actually indicated he would be sending the records on multiple occasions and never followed through. When this matter came before the board back in June, shortly before that, Mr. Agra had submitted the clinical record, which I had to request again. At that time, the board had received the typed notes, which are included in the memo, and the members had expressed concern at that time that it appeared to be written after the fact and that there were no handwritten notes. Following that, Mr. Agra nor Dr. Olshan submitted any handwritten notes.
Dr. Olshan, you got a comment?
No, I didn't. I didn't submit the notes. But I didn't realize that was still part of the process. It was my understanding that was resolved and that the reason for requesting my license was because of my not interacting with the board appropriately. I mean, I'm more than willing to submit those notes, but it was my understanding and from my attorney that was done with, that was not something. In fact, this morning I called them and I said, when I'm giving my presentation, should I just be sticking with my interaction with the board? And he said, yes. Well, he's no longer my attorney, but you know.
Dr. Osham, you received that subpoena. You responded to Ms. Michelson 20 minutes before our CSC meeting. And then you never provided those written notes. A long time frame. I guess the concern is, again, it's a decision making process where we've asked you for something, and in essence, you hung up on us, as you used in your words with your client.
No, I didn't say that I hung up on you.
No, I thought,
at the last meeting, if you had said to me, we still don't have your notes, why didn't you send us your notes? I don't think anybody ever asked me that.
But point taken. It was in a subpoena prior to that. And are there any other questions? Any other questions from the board members? Yes, Dr. Gill.
Yes, Dr. Olshan. There's also the issue of the documentation regarding your medical conditions. You had said that you submitted a x-ray and some other information to the board. We don't appear to have received that information. Could you clarify what you allegedly sent to the board regarding any medical reasons why you could not respond to these subpoenas?
And just, can I ask, wait, before you answer that, Mr. Harris, we were asking him to provide medical reasons why he has not responded to the board. Should we do an executive session or is that an open meeting? I just want to confirm. You're on mute, Mr. Harris.
And actually, Madam Chair, if I just may clarify one point, Dr. Olshan had been subpoenaed for both the initial appearance in December of 2019 and the informal interview of January 2020. Approximately 24 hours in advance of those meetings, he submitted emails to me, one with an x-ray. I won't go into details as to what that is. That information was provided to the board, and they reviewed that in both December and January, and they denied those continuance requests, and that was noted in the board meeting minutes. And for the board's reference, what Dr. Olshan is referring to in the email is on page 166 of your PDF file. And Mr. Harris, I believe you can go ahead and comment.
All right. So Mr. Harris, Dr. Gillett asked for an explanation on the medical concerns. I just wanted to make sure that, is that an open meeting or is that a executive session?
It is Dr. Olshan's right to have that. This, and of course, because it's his confidential information that, and
Mr. Harris, you seem to have frozen a little bit.
Mr. Harris, you may want to take your picture off. That might help if there's a bandwidth issue.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, we couldn't hear you, Mr. Harris, because somehow it froze up.
I'm not sure. It shows that I'm not on mute.
No, it's not the mute issue. You may just want to turn your video off, Mr. Harris. That helps with bandwidth when it's not coming across clearly. Okay.
Sorry, what was the suggested remedy?
The concern is when you talk, you're freezing up. So that means that your bandwidth for your Wi-Fi is not really great. So if you turn your video off, sometimes that helps. So I think what you said, okay, Mr. Harris, is that Dr. Olshan can decide if he wants to speak about his medical conditions in an open forum meeting right now or to go in executive session. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Shreve, I'm not sure. I guess I read it a little differently. He is saying what was said was, you know, why didn't he did submit that? Ms. Michelson has confirmed it, but we denied the continuance.
Right.
I don't know if there was a request to go in depth into his medical conditions.
Okay, so Dr. Gill, he did provide some information. With that information, we denied his continuance. So there was some medical information provided. Did you still want to ask questions regarding the medical condition?
No, I'll let it go. I didn't want any specific medical condition, just maybe a simple statement from his doctor saying that due to his condition, he was not able to attend a meeting. That was the reference that we had read in the medical records, that he was making the excuse that he couldn't attend a meeting because of his medical condition. We didn't receive anything specifically from his doctors to confirm his allegation. That's my question.
I need to interrupt. I sent a note from my doctor, which wasn't to you folks, but it was the instructions from my neurosurgeon, Dr. Marciano, stating the date of my surgery, when I was going to have my surgery. And one of the things that came up was prior to my surgery, my cardiologist wanted me to have the thing where they stick it up your wrist and everything. But I did send that. I sent the note, which basically stated when the surgery was and what type of surgery.
Are there any other questions for Dr. Ocean?
If I could just comment, I don't believe that answers the question.
No, and I don't think you're correct, because what else would you want other than a document showing that I had surgery when I said I was going to have it, and that it was from the neurosurgeon? It would have been impossible to go into my neurosurgeon, who I had to wait 6 months to get an appointment to see him, to say, would you write a note to the board saying that I'm having surgery on such and such a day? I don't understand. If it wasn't acceptable, why didn't the board say, doctor, this isn't acceptable. We need a direct note to us from your doctor, you know, stating that. I sent x-rays, I sent the note telling me that when to go report for surgery.
All right.
I don't know what else you would want.
Are there any other questions for the board members? All right, hearing none. Oh, Ms. Dr. Davis-Wilson, was that you? Were you waving at me? Okay.
Nobody's stretching.
Just stretching, okay. All right, so no other questions. I'm now going to ask Ms. Galvin, who's representing the state, if she has any comments.
No, not at this time.
All right, thank you, Ms. Galvin. And Mr. Harris, you can turn your camera back on, because I just would feel more comfortable if I can, at least as we go through this, in case you need to wave at me and get my attention on something. So at this point, we can, as a board, need to have a discussion in regards to this situation. At this point, it is going to a hearing. I wrote the date down, I believe, Mr. Harris, that was November 20th?
Yeah. November 10th.
November 10th. And so as a committee, we can then either continue with that, or we can look if we want to amend and have some other kind of disciplinary action, whether it's a practice monitor, period of probation, continuing education credits. You know, as a committee, what are your thoughts on this situation? And again, this is a time only for the committee to deliberate without any interruptions from anybody.
I think we should go into deliberations, Ms. Shree.
Yeah, okay, we are. This is deliberations without, I just wanted to make it clear that it's just for us. Any comments?
Ms. Michelson, you mentioned a page number earlier. Do you mind bringing up the page number again?
Yes, Dr. Malott. The emails from Dr. Olshan regarding the medical information starts on 165 of that file.
I will start. I think, you know, my concerns are the lack of response to us for minimal information, which is what we do every time. We ask for this case file, right? Provide us with the case file, provide us with this information, and it was not provided, and we provided several subpoenas. Although what appears as though is from, you know, even Dr. Bohansky had mentioned, he's known his reputation. He's obviously provided really some good service over several decades, which is, you know, very admirable and something that we need in this profession. However, I would have concerns with continuing without some type of at least oversight to ensure that the way that he is dealing with us is not the same as well as with his patients. And as a member of the public, some people don't know what they could do if they're not receiving great service. So I have concerns from a professional standpoint. It is him that holds the license. It's not as he's ultimately responsible. So if we don't move forward with going with revoking his license, mine would be at least a practice monitor, and then to give us a determination in a year or so whether he is should continue. I don't know, just my thoughts. Anyone else?
I'm with you, Ms. Shreve. I think a practice monitor and really helping Dr. Olshan, you know, follow the current standards of practice and taking responsibility you know, for responding in a timely manner, whether it's to clients or whether it's his patients or the board. Those are professional behaviors we expect. And he has had a long, a long practice with no complaints before the board. And I do want to honor that. But I think it's important that it continues, you know, the high standards of care we expect for all our professionals, whether you practice for 40 years or 2 years, you know, so.
I'm concerned that we still don't have the records. I don't feel comfortable moving forward with any kind of decision when in the last meeting, when he had his attorney, both Dr. Malad and I asked for the handwritten notes for the full record, and that has not been provided. So if that was once again ignored in the last contact that we had. So I don't see how we can look to resolve this other than proceeding with the hearing when he won't provide records.
Okay. Anyone else?
Could we recommend a practice monitor with a contingency that he submits all medical records to the board?
What is a good question is, I think Dr. Meyer, as you bring it up, Mr. Harris, you know, I think there's a quandary of, because we never received the full records, you know, in regards to the complaint that was filed, we never really looked at that whole situation holistically. What we did is we moved forward with taking his license away because he's not even responding to us. So is there we're either on a road of the removing his license, which we have a hearing date for, or if we do a practice monitor, there's no way to really look at his file, is there? Mr. Harris? I think you're going to have to, Mr. Harris, really bad reception on your end for whatever reason.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I apologize. Is it okay if I get off the video conference and just participate telephonically? I think that connection will be a little bit clear for everybody.
I have a suggestion.
Wait a second. Yes, that's Dr. Malad. Does it have to do with his ability to communicate with us?
Yes, it does. That's okay. Right. I was going to make a suggestion. If you turn your volume down on your computer and dial in with your phone, you could still have your picture showing, and then you're talking through your phone. People who have connections do that.
Appreciate that. I just try to immediately terminate it, the participation by conference call.
Mark, I don't seem to have a connection problem. Do you just want to come to my office and do it?
That would be happy.
Quick.
Thank you so much.
So go ahead and just turn your system off, Mr. Harrison.
Yeah.
If you just go out of the room and then.
Okay. I'm going to leave my connect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Ms. Poe. I'm going to take this opportunity to go ahead and give out the first code word for anybody that is attending this meeting for CE.
Very, very timely. So everybody, if you are looking for continuation credits, here is the code word. Go ahead, Ms. Poe.
The first code word is pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice, which is one of my favorite. And it makes me feel like the fall is coming. So pumpkin spice. And Mr. Harris should be here momentarily. This is one of the challenges with Zoom. It's great in some aspects because we can easily get together and talk, but sometimes it can be challenging. So pumpkin spice, again, the code word for those of you that are looking at continuation credits, and please email our staff members with that code word, and that just ensures that you were part of the meeting. Mr. Harris, thank you.
You're welcome. Can everybody hear me?
Oh, yes. Much better.
Much better.
Yes, thank you. And as I understand the question, it relates to the fact that we still haven't investigated the underlying issues associated with the complaint, and rather the only issues that were remanded to formal hearing had to do with Dr. Olshan's participation during the investigative process, his lack of responding, so on and so forth. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Madam Chair, if you could perhaps, and I apologize, but rephrase the question that you may have.
Yes, I think, so the question is, we're heading down the road to the hearing, and you're right, it's regarding his lack of responding to us. If we have it, we're having a discussion about what our other options are. If we were to go to a practice monitor or whatnot, we never dealt per se with the case because we never received the file. We never received all the documents. So it seems the question is that shut? Is that done? Can we not revisit that? And if we, because we already have a date set for his license to be revoked for that hearing.
And just to clarify, Dr. Olshan did eventually respond to the subpoena. Mr. Agrod submitted the records, but we never received the handwritten notes. So hopefully, I don't know if that helps, Mr. Harris.
It does. And Madam Chair, members of the board, I know that we're on a video conference call, but it may be something that you'd want to go into executive session for legal advice.
All right. Thank you. I do want legal advice on this because I think it was Dr. Myers. You know, this is a good question. So I'm going to make a motion to go into executive session to receive legal advice. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. So we should receive something from Ms. Poe to go into exec session. And those of you that are not, then just stay on the line and we'll be magically brought back in a little bit. Minutes for everybody to magically pop back into our meeting. It's kind of cool how we can do this. Trying to just make sure, do I see everybody? Does everybody look like they're here? I don't see Dr. Davies. Is he here? Oh, there's Dr. Davies. Dr. Meyer, are you here? Oh, there is Dr. Meyer. All right. Okay, it appears, unless somebody wants to correct me, that everybody is back.
Yeah, you automatically come back. You don't even have to do anything.
All right, so back from executive session, we are still in deliberations, the committee members. Any comments from or continued discussion from committee members? I guess I'll start. You know, I think that we all feel, I think I speak for myself, this, you know, we're very concerned with the psychologist's lack of response, especially lack to legal requests. Not even just us, we sent subpoenas. However, I think he does have a history of providing services, and obviously seems to, at least from some of our committee members, known as, having provided a lot of good community service and assistance to residents. I guess my only, if we don't move forward with the revocation or going to the, it would be to then maybe doing some type of a consent decree where there's a stay of revocation where we're gonna revoke it unless he performs certain requests that are in the consent decree. We did offer a consent decree a while back. I don't remember. I have it. I'm trying to look at my other computer here. Ms. Nicholson, when was that?
That consent agreement the board offered was for the voluntary surrender of his license. So if the board wanted him to offer him a consent agreement today with the state revocation, they would need to specify what provisions in addition to probation that they would want, such as continuing education, practice monitoring.
Okay. So that would be a consideration I'd put in front of the board. I think we could, if that's something we're interested in, we would have the very detailed what it would be. And then I would want a commitment from the licensee as whether he would commit to that consent decree here, because we do have a meeting already scheduled, or we go forward with the meeting. And if the administrative hearing officer agrees that it's a serious enough offense that the license be revoked, you know, we can move forward that way too. I know. What are the thoughts of the committee members?
I'm wondering if there's a third option, and that is, I would really like to see the progress notes and verify the existence of the progress notes. I think Dr. Myers makes a really good point to assign a practice monitor. Because that would be something that would be addressed, and we're missing that crucial piece of information. So it's either, you know, his lack of cooperation with everything that has happened for the last couple of, year or so, and which is kind of, a different matter, versus how do we help him better his practices when we assign a practice monitor?
I think the concern though is that train has already passed in some aspects, and that we've already moved forward and we have a hearing date for revocation of his license. And he didn't provide that information after being requested several times. To go back now and look at that, we already have a hearing date. We can't stop that. That one's moving forward. And so unfortunately, the time has passed in some aspects to look at that specific case. Unless I'm wrong here, Mr. Harris, he's our attorney, but we're already down the road to revocation with the hearing. And part of that revocation is his notes, what he did provide to us as his client file was not complete. And we'd asked that several times. So now since we'd be going back and asking again, that would be my concern.
Madam Chair, Board, generally that is correct, but you always have the option to, move that part of the case, the part of the case where you didn't have meaningfully consider the actual ends of unprofessional conduct because of his failure to cooperate. So you don't necessarily, you haven't lost that. You can always go back to it. The only that has gone forward to formal hearing is his failure to cooperate during the investigation. And if you look at the consent agreement, there are multiple violations of unprofessional conduct. With respect to the allegations set forth in the complaint notice of hearing, there is just one act of unprofessional conduct, and that relates to his failure to cooperate during the course of the board's investigation. So I think the issue is really whether or not you want to try to resolve the matter today or proceed to formal hearing, or to try to address the issue, or in essence, reserve the issue of his failure to cooperate until you've had a chance to review the progress notes.
I see it as there's the issue of failing to cooperate is an issue in itself. The complaint is an issue. We asked for the notes several times. We never received it. And I have concerns whether, what about those notes? Because we don't have those. But we'd have to open up, I guess, or review that case again, but I think we still move forward or we look at the whole not being responsive. And do we deal with that in a consent decree with a stay revocation, or do we continue just go to department to the administrative hearing? And remember, once the administrative hearing judge makes his decision, it comes back, or he or she make that decision, comes back to us to review.
The one thing I would say is Dr. Olshan seems to have a different attitude at this point compared to previous meetings. I would hate to prematurely end his career if he has changed his mind and is willing to submit the full records and cooperate completely. I think that we could proceed with the hearing knowing that we can adjust or change those recommendations when it comes back. If he wants to get those records to us immediately, then perhaps we can work with him, and otherwise we can proceed with the recommendations from the hearing.
Mr. Harris, is that an option? A legal option. Yeah,
the question or statement is that we can go forward with the administrative hearing on November 10th. And in that interim, Dr. Olshan could provide the board with the progress notes and any other information that he hasn't produced that you've requested.
We just lost you.
We just lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, and that you'll always be able to go back and take a look at the underlying issues associated with the complaint. In essence, you're if you're going down that path, you're in essence kind of
We lost you. We're in essence. We were what? We still can't hear you. Mr. Harris.
Madam Chair, members of the board, can you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you when you said, in essence, you are
bypassing, and then
nothing. Yeah, then we lost you.
Okay, thank you.
If you could turn your video off, we seem to have better luck when that's off.
Sure, let me go ahead and do that.
To the left, bottom left, there you go.
I turn it off.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, I do think that you probably have the authority to kind of bifurcate the cases as you have. The only issue really before the Office of Administrative Hearing is the conduct associated with his failure to cooperate in a board investigation. You have not made a determination with respect to the underlying allegations of unprofessional conduct. The reason why you haven't is because Dr. Olshan hasn't
And we totally lost you, Mr. Harris.
Maybe he should use his phone.
Okay.
Yeah, I think because...
I like the idea of keeping that non-cooperation hearing in place because he still hasn't cooperated. He still hasn't submitted what we've requested. So we can proceed with that. If in the interim he wants to start cooperating, then we can look at that. But I would hate to avoid that hearing and go with a consent agreement when there's minimal evidence to this point that anything's going to change.
Okay, so I will. My thought going with that, Dr. Meyer, is we move forward with the hearing as scheduled. We ask Dr. Olshan to provide a complete client file to us within 10 working days. That's sent to our staff, and he has 10 working days to do that. And at that, so we're going to move forward with that. The hearing officer will give back his or her recommendation, and then it will come back before us, and we may or may not have a complete file. It depends on the doctor, and at that point, we can look at it holistically again. Is that something that everyone can agree to or feels comfortable with?
Madam Chair, are you saying we will agree to it following the hearing in January?
I'm saying that we will move forward with the concerns that are going to the hearing officer right now of his lack of cooperation. In the meanwhile, we will ask Dr. Osha to provide us with all of the complete file of the clients, which we've done before. He has 10 working days to provide it to us. The hearing officer will make a recommendation. It will come back to the board, most likely in January, because of the timeline they have to hear the case and then make a recommendation. At that point, we'll get the recommendation from the hearing officer. It may be they agree with us, they may recommend some other disciplinary action, but we then look at that ruling. We look at what we received, if anything, from Dr. Ocean, and then we can then determine the best, what we feel is the appropriate outcome at that point.
Well, and Madam Chair, members of the board, I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
You know, you do have the benefit of a board meeting prior to the hearing. And I would ask you at least consider, because, you know, trying to buy these cases or these issues are pretty challenging. And you all board investigation that isn't going away.
Okay.
So you may, you know, if you get what it sounds like is you want to give him one more opportunity to produce the progress notes and any other documents that you've requested that he hasn't within a very short window. If he does that, one of the things that you may want to at your next meeting prior to the November 10th hearing, so you can determine what, if anything, that you want to do. And you'll have all of your options.
Okay. Okay, you've cut out, Mr. Harris.
You can vacate the hearing and remand this matter back to investigation where it can be thoroughly vetted. And again, you're not losing, or you won't lose, his failure to cooperate during the course of the investigation.
All right, so if I will, I'm gonna make a motion that we request, again, the whole client file, that it be received to us by October the 12th, and that we place this case on the agenda for November. We move forward with the November 10th hearing officer meeting, because that's a whole different situation, but that allows us to then bifurcate the issues. One's the client complaint, and the other one is the lack of responding to us, which then at that point in November, we can see better how the doctor is working with us and the November meeting by providing us with the entire file, and we've had a chance to look at it.
Seconded.
Maybe that wasn't really very well put. So we have a motion and a second. Mr. Harris, was that clear enough?
Madam Chair, members, so that we heard was, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're going to leave in place the November 10th hearing. In the interim, you're going to give Dr. Olshan until October 12th to produce the progress notes and any other document that the board has previously requested that hasn't been produced, that you're asking that this matter be on the board's November agenda prior to the November 10th hearing for your further consideration.
Yes, except I will make one adjustment. November 12th is a holiday, so I'm going to change that to, October 12th is a holiday, Columbus Day, so I'm going to change that to October 13th, which is a Tuesday. So that gives him that 7, 8, 9, 10, well, let's make it October 14th. There you go, at least 10 working days. So October 14th, does that work for everybody? So that's the motion. We have a second. I believe that was Dr. Myers. Any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. So Dr. Ocean, we would expect that. See, the whole client file by the 14th. if you just decide to submit it. You'll be hearing from, I guess, from our staff. Dr. Osham, are you committed to providing that file to us?
I will do anything it takes that the board wants me to do so that I can preserve my license and continue working.
All right, thank you. All right, we are going to take a comfort break. It is now 10:18. How about if we come back at, like, say, 10:25? Take 10 minutes.
Is it okay for me to click off? I'm a little bit leery. I don't want to click off by accident before.
No. Nope.
Have you said I'm ignoring anybody?
No, we're good. Your case is completed. So thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you.
Today.
Thank you, board. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. So let's take a 10-minute break, and we will be back. Please put yourselves on mute.